Tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of the shooting at Marysville High School. It left five high school students dead, including the shooter. In the years since the Marysville High School shooting, we've seen several other mass shootings, and we hear the same uproar and calls for change each time in both mental health policy and gun policy. Yet mass shootings feel increasingly inevitable and unpreventable. But Scott MacArthur says that's not the case. He's a security professional and part of an unseen network of people trying to identify and intervene in the next shooting.
And it's comprised of different disciplines, including mental health, the law enforcement side, and the legal side. Bringing all of those entities together is what is really kind of the formation of a team, right? But what we're practicing is a model on prevention.
How common is this model for prevention around the country?
It's definitely gaining steam. A lot of school districts around the country have implemented a model. Workplaces, large corporations generally have a team model, and municipalities. So different police departments will have that model as well.
And where did the strategy come from? Where did this model grow out of?
As many people may recall, you know, certainly during the mid-80s, there was kind of a flurry of workplace violence-related issues, more targeted violence issues. Down in California, there were celebrities in Hollywood that were being stalked and targeted. So LAPD really kind of started that model down there. And at the same time, the Capitol Police back in Washington, D.C., dealing with a lot of congressional-related targeted threats and other threats against public figures. It was really kind of that 1990 time frame when everybody started kind of collaborating together. And that's kind of what kicked it off.
What happens when someone is identified as a possible threat? What's the first step there? How does a team develop? What happens?
Well, essentially, you know, these types of things can come in from a variety of ways. Family members can report concerns about, you know, their loved ones. Coworkers can report things about their supervisors or employees that work for them. And schools, obviously, with students, right? And so when those reports come in, really the first thing that a professional is going to do is determine, is this an exigent circumstance? Is this an emergency situation that they need to, you know, call 911, for example? Really triaging and stabilizing the incident is the first step.
If there's not a 911 emergency happening, what does a threat assessment team do? How do you work with someone that family members are worried about, that friends are worried about? They're concerned that this person might do something drastic, do something violent.
Well, at that point, you're doing your evaluation part of it. And it's really investigative work to determine what is going on with this individual. What is making them behave in the manner that they're behaving? Do they have problems at home? Is it work that's causing them issues? Is it a problem with other students if it's a school environment? And so really it's digging into their personal background, digging into what's going on with situational factors in their lives, and looking at even positive aspects, right? What do they like to do for hobbies, right? What do they do in their free time? What's their social infrastructure like? You're looking at a number of different criteria related to this, to the individual. Things like weapons acquisition, weapons possession, training. Have they made threats and what are their motives for those threats? You know, do they have substance abuse issues? Do they have any past history of violence, things like that? Anger issues, lots of things to look at. And, you know, one person isn't necessarily doing all of that work, right? It's a team approach. You need to have experts that are advising on their expertise related to it. Me, I'm a security and investigations professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. So I need doctors and lawyers to advise me on, you know, best approaches, for example.
I'm talking with Scott MacArthur. He's a security professional, and he's the president of the Northwest chapter of the Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. You talked a little bit about what a successful intervention might look like. Part of that is understanding this person is troubled, as well as troubling to other people, perhaps. This person is probably in pain, too. But what happens when that intervention strategy breaks down? For example, there is an intervention, but then the person leaves town, for example. The threat assessment team no longer has access to that person.
Right. Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, you know, you can't be everywhere at every time. And in general, you know, if an individual leaves a school or transitions to another community, right, and they don't have anything set up, I mean, the important part is reporting, right? That's the critical thing. You need those see something, say something, initial reports to come in to get that on somebody's radar so that they can triage it and figure out if they have an issue there or not.
As a threat assessment professional yourself, you know that there's not a lot of research that looks at this particular strategy and its effectiveness when it comes to mass shootings, for example. It's a relatively new field. Why do you think that this kind of approach can be helpful?
Well, I don't know that it's a new field, right, or a new strategies. And, you know, these are just concepts. These are really implementing aspects of the multidisciplinary approach that bring different things together and kind of break down communication barriers and bring expertise in from one discipline to another. Yes, there are no metrics that I'm aware of. You know, you won't find metrics on how many teams exist, right? There are corporate teams, there are school teams, there are law enforcement teams, hospital teams. You'll rarely hear about success stories. How you measure, you know, whether or not you thwarted an attack is a very, very, it's impossible, basically, right? You can never prove that an individual was going to commit attack or that they weren't going to commit attack. But we definitely know that these models work. And that having multidisciplinary teams with different perspectives and engaging with specific individuals and situations, they are effective, because if there's nobody looking at them or trying to do interventions on them, you're going to have individuals out there that aren't getting in front of people. They're not getting the treatment that they need. They're not going to ever get in front of law enforcement. Law enforcement will never know that there's a problem with these individuals. So it's better than doing nothing.
Scott MacArthur is a security expert and president of the Northwest Chapter of the Association of Threat Assessment Professionals.